This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get it.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, in your number, 800-919-3776. And I advise you all that if you want to get on the show, you want to get in line right now. I mean, there it is a busy Monday in New York City as we went from 20 weeks of nothing to it's all have a deluge of sports news, things happening and actually happening by the minute right now. And Bart, here we go. I mean, it's a busy week, as we knew. Live sports started over the weekend with baseball. We'll see how much longer that lasts. Yeah. But we also have more sports to talk about as hockey and basketball will take place later this week. And then NFL training camps will be opening very soon after that. So we're back into it, but we'll see for how long, because right now, we don't know what's going to happen in Major League Baseball. Owners are meeting right now. They're discussing what to do next. But Marlins Orioles has been postponed. Why? Because more Marlins players have tested positive for COVID. They were just in Philadelphia. And immediately you feel, well, the Yankees are heading to Philly. And if I'm the Yankees, there's no way in hell I'm going in that clubhouse until it's completely disinfected. And so Yankees-Phillies has also been postponed tonight in Philadelphia. So we'll see now. The sport that is operating outside of a bubble looks like they're having some issues. At least one team is, while the teams in with the sports that are in the bubble, NBA and NHL, seem to be so far okay.
I mean, we thought we were going to get out of week one and be able to show up on Monday and really celebrate Cespedes coming back and hitting a home run. Giancarlo Stanton looking like an MVP candidate. Diaz disappointing us in picking up Walford right where he left off. Painful. And it's just like, coming back. And now the narrative is, will this continue? We went from 0 to 100 real fast, and we were excited to have all kinds of sports. We were thinking, hey, we will have so much to talk about that we're going to have to put me on the shot clock on my comments. My comments are going to have to be within 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and move on to the next one, kind of like partner interruption. Ding, we got to go back to the next hot topic. But when you look at it, the Marlins, is an early case study to how committed and how dedicated they are to making sure that they keep these players safe, but also have protocols in place. And this isn't just a case study for the for Major League Baseball. This is a case study for the NFL as well, to see what happens when a group that's not in a bubble get an outbreak. How do you handle it? How do you contact trace? And how do you isolate? And how do you have flexibility to move around? Now, speaking about the Phillies, if I'm the Phillies and if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm testing the Phillies today to make sure that it wasn't any cross-contamination.
They're testing right now.
Yeah. Right, because it's very limited contact in baseball. But let's see. If they come out good, then that gives – if I'm baseball, that gives me confidence that, hey, if one team has it, doesn't necessarily mean that the other team has it.
I agree with that. If whatever results do come out of today with the Phillies, and they're going to be tested regularly anyway.
Right.
If that result tells you, okay, maybe it's one or two, maybe it's zero. Okay.
Right.
Umpires as well, by the way, that worked the game yesterday and over the weekend. If you go through that, and then, of course, you send in whatever it is, the germ SWAT team that goes into the visiting clubhouse.
Exactly.
And just completely fumigates the place. And then you feel like, okay, now we can have a team go in there.
Yeah.
But the thought is, people say, well, why don't the Phillies just go to the Bronx and play at Yankee Stadium?
Right.
Well, I don't want the Phillies going anywhere right now because, again, they were the ones that were right there with the Marlins. So it's how the league handles it. It goes back to what even Adam Silver talked about with the NBA, is if we have a little outbreak, we can't overreact. We can't shut it all down. We've got to just see if we can isolate it, handle it, and move forward. The Brooklyn Nets, you don't even recognize their roster. Why? Because a handful of their players tested positive, and two others decided, I'm not going to play. I'm opting out. So they had to find some players and put a team together. The Marlins are essentially going to have to do the same thing.
Right.
Until their players come out of quarantine. It's just you have to know how to, just like all of us, we have to live with the virus and react accordingly with the virus. And so if you do have positives, quarantine and get yourself in until it's all the way through.
And
right?
another thing that this does for all the teams that thought, hey, you know, let your guard down. We're having fun. Everybody's tested, right? Let's handshake. Let's be all up in each other's face in the clubhouse. Let's be around each other. Let's kind of lax down and let's talk to our teammates without the mask on. No, this lets everybody know early on you have to always be on guard. You have to always be doing the responsible thing. You always have to make sure that you understand that this virus is around and nobody's immune to it. Anybody can get it, and we have to be responsible to keep this thing going. So I don't know what happened. It's been reports that, you know, they stopped in Atlanta, and Atlanta is a hot spot right now, and maybe they got, you know, infected in Atlanta. Nobody knows where exactly the outbreak came or where the first person who got it or where the missed test was taken or not taken. But it still lets them know that, hey, you know, people are getting it, and we're going to have to be more, you know, diligent in our travel. We're going to have to be more diligent in what we do as an organization, because if it's just them, then you have to ask, where did it come from and who made the mishap and how did it happen? But if the Phillies don't have anything, then they're saying, okay, you can play against a team that have it, but baseball is so socially distanced for the most part anyway that teams can be safe.
That's the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's Barton Hahn again. 800-919-3776 is the number. You can get us on Twitter at Barton Hahn. You can get us on Instagram as well. And of course, we did IG Live.
We'll do it live
at 12:30, there, because it's like I said, the baseball thing is just happening now. We'll keep an eye on it, of course, and take your calls on it and how it might impact the entire league. Not just they just got started, and you would think things went fairly swimmingly. And the Yankees, you know, had a nice weekend. The Mets, not so much, but still, you felt like I was sitting watching Bart last night for the first time. I got it because it's a busy weekend for us, just family wise. But I got to sit down yesterday afternoon and watch the YES Network and watch a game, you know, in the setting that you love, air conditioning and 4K. And it was, you know, it was spectacular. It was great to sit and watch something live in a game and get into it. It was a really entertaining game as Corbin pitched so well for the Nationals. The bullpen let him down. And the Yankees, just as they always do, it always takes that one player. Yesterday was Gleyber Torres. But
and Foyt.
And Luke Foyt, obviously, a big homer as well. But it was just, it was fun. And the bullpen for the Yankees, a tremendous job. But sitting there watching it, it felt normal for the first time, even with no one in the building, right? So you have that. But there's so much else happening right now in sports that even our IG Live, we talked about the Tom Thibodeau reports with the Knicks that, you know, again, I've told you that was the inevitable, and now it's going to be official at some point this week. And then for you, what everybody wants to hear from you, and I know we got a little taste of it on DPH or Kenny Rothenberg, is Jamal Adams getting traded, which felt like it just happened so fast.
Like a news dump on Friday, right?
Like it was just incredible. How it was like, wait, what? Like, you know, so the Thibodeau stuff started to leak, and it really became a thing on Saturday. And then Jamal Adams happened on Saturday as well. And it just, you know, those are two things obviously right in our wheelhouses. So I don't even know where we begin. You know, when it comes on those two headlines, but, you know, there's a lot of callers that want to talk both of those topics. So let me just, you know my feelings on the Thibodeau stuff. I can get deeper into it later, but just give me quickly in a microcosm before we get to the calls, what your level of surprise that Joe Douglas made the move when he did right after it felt like they're under no pressure to trade this guy. They don't have to.
Yeah.
But if the right trade came along, it would be worth listening to. Was this the right trade that came along that he had to say yes to?
Right trade, right time, right compensation. Once Jamal went nuclear, it was no way to repair, you know, that relationship. When you go out against the owner or you go against the owner's brother, you know, he knew what he was doing. But the Jets was willing to listen to the white noise and let Jamal spat off, because they've been through this before. This isn't the first time, you know, Joe Douglas has been around a disgruntled star.
Yeah.
But then it started to become like Jamal was a bad culture guy. you know, sometimes when, you know, you're around and a guy seems like a leader, he says all the right things, you know, adversity reveals a lot. And when it got real hot for him in these streets, when it got hot for Jamal, he started to become a squeaky, squeaky wheel. And he didn't handle it like a professional would handle it, in my view. He handled it like somebody who was just trying to force their way out and didn't care about the damage they did on the way out. He left a lot of open wounds here, and I don't know if that'll ever be repaired. And then to leave I'll always miss you Jet fans in my heart.
Whatever.
Like, it was so hollow, so shallow.
Yeah, tell that story of walking.
It was so weak. You know, and I expected more from Jamal. And listen, he got his wish, but I think what he left behind could potentially be the building blocks of a playoff caliber football team in the near future and potentially a Super Bowl caliber team in the next 3 years. And I believe with that type of draft equity, that type of weaponry where you can utilize and move up and down draft boards for 2 years in a row, knowing that you have 4 first round draft picks, like you can have the ability to go out and get that white whale because now you have the ammunition. All I tell people to do is look at the Khalil Mack trade. Look at what happened with Khalil Mack, and everybody was like, how stupid are the Raiders because they got rid of Khalil Mack. If you look at the Raiders were in the playoff run 1 year after letting Khalil Mack go with the draft picks and the compensation that they have for him. They built the building blocks of a foundation, not only of good players that are going to be good in the future, but they also were able to be responsible with the cap so that they can have the ammunition to be able to get what they need and go able to buy it. So the fact that the Jets have 4 draft picks and then, you know, 4 number ones in the next 2 years, and the fact that they still have money now, because now that's money you're not giving Jamal, that's money that you're going to have in your pocket, to maybe, if Yannick plays out this season, to be able to go sign Yannick and still have, you know, 4 first-round draft picks. Just imagine next year, perfect scenario. We're allowed to wish and dream, right? So let's just say next year, Yannick is a free agent. Jets are going to have just as much money, or not more money, to give anybody, and Sam Darnold shows the promise that we anticipate that he's going to show. Now you have opportunity to have a D Ford, Nick Bosa type of situation where you go get a pass rusher in free agency and you go draft the number one draft, you know, pass rusher in the game. And if you have to give up your first-round draft pick and package 2 first-round draft picks to move up and get them, now you got 2 bookends and it doesn't hurt because now you have 2 pass rushers instead of 1. And everybody on your team is better.
It's all about what Joe Douglas does, obviously, with this stuff now. You get 2 first. Like the deal they got for Jamal Adams, you compare it to the Khalil Mack deal.
Yep.
And Khalil Mack, obviously, you know, you want to take a safety versus a guy who gets to the quarterback. You're always going to get to go with the guy that gets the quarterback. I mean, he's a higher value player, right?
Right.
You did have to sign him, of course, but still. What the Raiders got back allowed the Raiders now to do something and build, right? And that's where now Joe Douglas, his job now will deter. This trade to me can't be graded until you see what the picks become. I always feel that way. You know, picks, it's the currency of hope. I say it all the time. It's draft picks, and everybody gets excited about draft picks. But draft picks can turn into D. Milliner.
Yeah.
Right? Like draft picks can turn into,
Quentin,
you know,
Couples.
Stephen Hill. Like, you know, we've seen it over and over again. Vernon Golson. Like, you can get draft picks. That's great. But they got to become something. Mm-hmm. And so now we got to wait for that. Show me what they become, and then I can tell you, oh, yeah, they got a hell of a deal back for Jamal Adams. But Jamal Adams continues to be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And those draft picks turn into nothing.
See,
and now you're looking for your next GM. Well, then this is the Kristaps Porzingis trade. That's what it is. It becomes Odell Beckham, the Odell Beckham trade. What did Odell Beckham trade? What did that turn into? What did it really turn into? So I think that's why, you know, as a Jets fan, I'm glad that the disgruntled guy who kept setting up a circus tent around my franchise, he's gone now. Get him out of the room. Get him away from the reporters who can't wait to run up to him and just basically hand them the notebook and say, here, write whatever you want, and I'll put it in the paper. Like, you know, no longer we have any integrity anymore. Let me just sell my soul to the agent so I can get the story. Great job. Right? But get him out of the room. That's fine. But I can't tell you how good this trade is, Bart. I can't tell you until I see what those picks become. Now, you give me a great scenario, and I'm excited about that as a fan. I'd love to see that. Ngakoue, maybe you get him as a free agent. Maybe you get him there. Maybe you use one or two of those picks to move yourself up higher to get the player you want to get in the draft that now gives you those pieces you're missing. And by the way, McDougal's not a bad player.
Not at
all. You got yourself a safety who can start, who is pretty much, you know, I think Pro Football Focus had the safeties with the Seahawks were top 10. You know, they weren't as high as Adams and May, but they were still top 10.
Yeah, and it's the thing, though. Now you ask May, and listen, anybody that watched football kind of, I don't know if they see the whole picture of how Jamal was used. And listen, Greg Williams got here, Jamal was still a dominant player. So I'm not going to say it's all about the system and how he's being utilized.
Second half of the season, clearly Greg Williams utilized him in a much different way, took advantage of his skill set.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. And that's keeping him close to the box, making him the overhang player. He's the extra player, meaning that there's nobody really left to block him, so you allow him to have no responsibilities to make plays. When he blitzes, find a hole, find a way. You know what I mean? Get in there, find a hole, find a path to the quarterback, be disruptive, right? Mm-hmm. What I would say, and what I've been saying on this show, on other shows that I was on previously, that I always believed that Marcus May was the more talented player.
Yeah.
Jamal was the more dominant early on. But I think everything that Jamal can do and is capable of doing, Marcus May is equally as capable with another skill set, meaning that he's a guy that can cover, but also he's a more gifted, instinctive guy in pass concepts. You look at Marcus May, you look at the interceptions that he's had. It's been in cover two. It's been in cover one. It's been in two-man. You know, Jamal's was in overthrows, right? And I say for everybody out there, like, oh, my God, where are we going to get the productivity that Jamal gave us last year? Well, you get the return, I believe, of the comeback player, I think, defense player of the year candidate in C.J. Mosley.
Yes.
He showed you what he was capable of.
In a half.
All those blitzes.
That's all we got to see. Yeah,
all those blitzes that Jamal were taking was usually blitzes that would come from the second level from the linebacker. So Jamal was basically the linebacker. So mm-hmm. you give those same productivity. So now I'm going to get the same productivity from C.J. Mosley. Now I have picks to be able to make trades. I mean, hell, the Jets can make a trade at the trade deadline if they have to. You know what I mean? They have the ammunition. They can give up a third-round pick right now. We saw Leonard Williams go for a third-round pick. Let's say we get to the middle of the season and Jacksonville's like, hey, you know, Yannick, we're not going nowhere. We're not going to get enough for Yannick. We're not going to franchise tag him. Let's just let him go. And you give up a third-round draft pick. You say, whoa, that's crazy. Why would they give up Yannick for a third-round draft pick? Well, wasn't Leonard Williams a top-six pick?
Yeah.
Didn't Leonard Williams have a good year where he had a lot of sacks? Mm-hmm. So if the Giants would give up for a third-round draft pick, imagine the Jets being able to get Yannick for a third-round draft pick and then say, hey, we're going to give up this third-round draft pick because we know we have to sign him to a mega deal at the end. So now you've already got that piece. So now going into the draft, you already know what you got to get. I mean, so it's so many different ways this thing can go. And I think Joe Douglas played it perfectly, and he has a plan. Now, listen, if you don't believe in Joe Douglas, then, of course, you're questioning this pick. And I know Jet fans has a lot of scar tissue and saying, hey, man, my team isn't good in picking. It was an article, I forget what article it was, where it showed Quentin Copels, Jamal Adams, D. Milliner. When it showed all that the last five, you know, since 2015, five first-round draft picks are out. They were traded, gone. Calvin Pryor, traded. Understand that. But listen, at some point, you have to believe in something. And what I'm saying is, hedging your bet is a high percentage that you will do a good job in believing in Joe Douglas.
And I'll tell you what, that's the problem I think that we now face as the Jets will go into the 2020 season, God willing that we have one, is that I do actually have faith in Joe Douglas because he's already given me demonstrated performance to have confidence in him already. What I still wonder about are the things that have come out that Jamal has really used as his campaign, his exit strategy, mm-hmm. which is Adam Gase, and no one in the room likes him, and he's not a great coach to play for and all that stuff. Because I do feel like that looms large over this season. It looms large over the Jets because if he fails, it's another transition. And obviously it also affects Sam Darnold in a third year. So that's the thing that I can't let go of in this whole Jamal thing. Is you just wonder how much truth is in what he kept saying about Adam Gase. That's the part that I worry most about. 800-919-3776 is the number. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Bob Klapich is tweeting out that he was told Marlins players likely infected in Atlanta last week. Not in Philly over the weekend. Philly players tested today, as we told you, and Citizen Bank Park ongoing a deep cleaning now. Yankees have been sequestered into a remote hotel, the Hotel Notel, but they do expect to play tomorrow. But it's really something to keep an eye on. It's funny, they say Atlanta. Who was at Citi Field?
Oh, God.
The Braves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, again, keep an eye on that. And, oh, by the way, on an NBA-related topic, a player, Lou Williams, went home to Atlanta for personal issues and also decided, though, he had to get out and get some wings from his favorite spot, as Bart told us.
I told you.
He told the world.
Told you.
There's only one place to get the best wings, and Lou Williams knows this, and he had to, the wings were calling him.
I've had those wings.
And he went, yeah, you know the spot. And so he went. And now he has to. He's in double quarantine now because the NBA found out about it. Because you think you got snitches in the bubble?
Yeah,
you got snitches outside the bubble taking pictures of them.
Yeah, that was LeBron's people. That was LeBron's people.
How about, by the way? Yes, LeBron's people. How about, by the way, the menu of the place says the reason why you're here. And it has the wings menu.
Yeah,
he has his own sauce named after him. Lou Will.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's how big of a customer he was. But that's the reality. But zero positives. As the NHL enters the bubble, there are two bubbles, right? The NHL announced that today. And the NBA so far, the few issues they've had, Kristaps Porzingis forgot to take his test, so now he's got to go into quarantine. He just, you know, just didn't do it one day. And all right, well, you didn't do it. Now we got to shut you down.
Yep.
Paul Millsap also went through that, where it's just he went through a day and was like, oh, damn, I didn't take the test. All right, well, you got to get shut down. So the bubble seems to be working. The question, of course, is should Major League Baseball consider getting into a bubble ASAP, or do you just handle it as, you know, case by case and hope it doesn't spread quickly? Because, again, if they're saying they got it in Atlanta, all right, the Mets just played a team from Atlanta.
Right.
So now what happens as, you know, they've got to also contact trace. So
yeah, exactly. The contract tracing, this is where it comes into effect, right?
Baseball right now, I think there's some tension. There's some concern about baseball because it's non-bubble. And they just got started, and they're just playing against other teams, just starting to travel. And right out of the gate, we have an issue. And your sport, the NFL is going to have, they're going to also travel. There'll be no bubble in the NFL. And so whatever happens with baseball, NFL should be watching and watching carefully, in my opinion.
No, definitely. You know, this is a great case study. That's why I think that the NFLPA wanted to push things back. But, you know, when you think about the NFL and why they push forward, it's because if you have these outbreaks, you want to have flexibility in your schedule to be able to reschedule games, to be able to take teams bye weeks and use those early on so that you can be able to have the season and still have a championship. Now, it's not going to be affected by weather because it's football. You can play in anything. But you want to be able to have a champion and playoffs and a regular schedule in a reasonable time. So, you know, this is going to be a great case study. I think this is also a great case study for college football because they're going to play regardless too. You know what I mean? And it's not about if somebody's going to get affected. It's what happens when they get affected.
When they do. Yeah.
And let's see if the protocol and the procedures that you put in place, let's see how effective they are.
That's exactly where we are right now. Bart, let's not get into the whole Dr. Doom stuff and how what I'm seeing already from some members of the media where it's just shut it down, shut it all down. It's never going to work. It's failure. They should have never done this.
Whatever.
You know, like, it didn't make sense.
Didn't we anticipate this? We talked about
you
this.
First of all, I'm watching TV in your basement right now. I don't see you. It's all good, though. I'd rather see you.
Remember, I was trying to hit mute like a million times.
I just wanted you to know that if you were making faces, I can't see them.
You was watching a weather channel.
So the weather, I was like, oh, we got a hurricane over there? But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, this is where I think we go to extremes sometime because we do get very emotional about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, is sports the be-all, end-all? No. But it also does sometimes represent life. And I think we've just got to understand that there are times where this is going to come up, and we have to learn how to adapt and adjust. That's it. And by the way, let this also be a cautionary tale, because we watched a weekend of games where guys were spitting and guys were high-fiving, and some guys just didn't even bother putting the mask back on in the dugout. So let this now be a lesson. As we said, don't be that guy.
Exactly.
So, but let's not overreact and say, shut it down, shut it all down. Let's just say, all right, figure it out, isolate it, and just battle through.
Right. And this is when you're talking about people are going to be using the entire roster. You know what I mean? You're going to be calling guys up. So this is going to call on teams that have the most opportunity to be successful. The teams with good farm systems, guys being able to call guys up to just give you, you know, who got the Tyler Austins, who have the Miguel Andujars of the world that they can, or the Clint Frazier's that they can call up and get, you know, 4 or 5 games, because we don't know, you know, 8 days or if it's 14 days before you can get 2 negative tests back to back. And you don't want to rush any of these guys back, but you're hoping that, hey, you know, maybe the Marlins can call up some guys and they can get back to going business as usual in about a week or so. But I don't even want to talk about baseball right now, because I know we got a full bank of calls, and I want to encourage people to keep calling in, because I want their voices heard about whatever the hell they want to talk about.
Yeah,
it ain't about what I want to talk about.
A lot of stuff on the Jets. Again, we'll get into Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks more probably 2 o'clock hour. We'll keep an eye on the baseball stuff right now. Again, no Yankees game tonight. They are staying sequestered in Philly, not going in that clubhouse. And would you? I wouldn't. Not after the, you know, again, Marlins left that place. You got to, you know, again, it's this Jeremy Jermison all over the place. Let's get that thing fumigated before I let my team go in there. But they're there and they're hoping to play tomorrow. At least expecting to play tomorrow. So it is what it is right now. But the Jets stuff, Jamal Adams, that's hot. Obviously, the Knicks and Thibodeau, very hot as well. Let's get your calls. 800-919-3776. We start off with Jack in Staten Island. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, fellas? Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good.
Maintaining. What up? What you got for us?
What's going on? So I just want to talk about, I called to talk about the Knicks. I know you guys are going to get to that topic later. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about Jamal Adams. And as far as, you know, when it comes down to New York, man, I'm just disgusted with the whole, you know, every time we get a superstar, such as the Jamal Adams, Odell Beckhams, the KPs, we trading them away for cookies and milk. Like, you know.
Two first-round picks is not cookies and milk, Jack. And by the way, Jamal is not a superstar. Let's dial that back a little bit. I wouldn't call him a superstar.
But hear me out now. I'm not saying that he's a superstar, you understand? But you gotta also understand what I'm saying to you is the fact is that we're trading for draft picks, and we don't know how these guys are gonna turn out. Odell, look for the situation with Odell. Look, I don't even know. I haven't even seen the guys that to be traded for him playing. Or look at KP. You understand?
Porzingis, and Jack, Porzingis is the same type of scenario here, right? A guy that was a budding star. That had some, you know, you had some question marks. And, of course, I told the story about he and his brother. I mean, they never bought in. They would never put roots down. They never accepted the idea of wanting to, they were demanding things as if they had already accomplished so much. And you could tell the franchise was like, whoa. How about we take this step at a time? Like, why don't you become an all-star first? How about help us win first? Then all this will get figured out. It got ugly relationship-wise. They didn't trust the Knicks franchise, and then the Knicks franchise was looking at them like, we don't trust you, because we think you want to get traded, you want to go somewhere else. So that got ugly. And I said it with that trade. I was mad about that trade for the same reasons you are, Jack, about this trade with Jamal. Because this is a homegrown player that turned into a star-level player for his position, and you should now be building with this guy. And instead, you reset and get draft picks. And we can't. And thanks for the call, Jack. We cannot, as I said earlier, my opinion. Bart, tell me if I'm wrong. We can't really judge this trade for Jamal Adams, because you got draft picks, until we see what the draft picks become. Don't you agree?
Exactly. But, you know, what happens is, you know, you look at, you know, Jamal didn't want to be here, and he made it apparent, and he went nuclear. And, you know, if that's how he wanted to get out of here, that's how he got out of here. Odell didn't ask to be traded. That's a big difference. Odell wanted to be here. Odell believed that he was going to be here. And I know he said some different things, but he didn't say, hey, trade me, demand a trade, and all that
true.
Stuff.
Never demanded, you know, to be traded, right.
And he didn't go at the owner. He didn't go at Tish. He didn't go at Mara. You know, he didn't go at the head coach. He didn't go at the general manager. How can you have a working relationship and this guy is supposed to be in your building the next day? That's going to make everybody else emboldened to be able to try and talk stuff. Now, listen, you let them keep that chatter unless you get a haul like this. And remember, like, when we go back and we can talk about, you know, we can talk about the Khalil Mack trade. what they got in return, you know, so far, they got Henry Ruggs and they got Damon Arnett. Now, which one was their pick and which one was the pick that they acquired? Well, who knows? They got Josh Jacobs and Colin Farrell. Who knows if Colin Farrell is going to be a baller? I know I can believe in Henry Ruggs already, and I know Arnett from Ohio State is a lockdown corner. Jamal is going to be the gift that keeps on giving, and it's going to be the responsibility of Joe Douglas to make sure he fills those shoes with players like that. What made this pick easier for me, or this trade easier for me, is like I said before, I believe in my heart of hearts, and I said it since day one, I believe that Marcus May is a better all-around player than Jamal Adams. He hasn't been healthy. You look at the comps, Jamal 6'1", May 6 feet, Jamal 214, Marcus May 208. He can do the same exact things if he was put in that role. You know what I mean? It's certain positions on a team that is designed to collect stats. And, yes, you have to be a player that's able to get those sacks and don't miss those layups. But Jamal was set up for layups. Not saying he's not a great player. But what I'm saying is you can get that type of productivity from Marcus May at half the price.
Mm-hmm.
Half
for now.
The cost. Right,
for
but now. But no matter what, no matter what Marcus May does, he won't, because his body of work won't be able to demand that type of salary that Jamal was demanding because his resume was it. So if you're going to get the same productivity cheaper, it allows you to overspend at the position that you need the most. You got to have a pass rusher. You got to have a pass rusher out here. If I tell you, hey, you can take the number one safety in the league to start your franchise, or you can take the number one pass rusher, one of the Bosas, Von Miller, which would you say? My point exactly. So until we get in that, until we spending that money on that, and we know that that white whale is out there like Garrett Cole for the Yankees, he's floating around there. We don't know if he's going to be available. What can you do to convince? Because I don't think you're going to miss the productivity of Jamal.
Right. But I to piggyback off what you're saying, it's basically like be in position to get that player you need instead of when that player, when let's say there's three edge rushers, suddenly become available, and you're not, and now you don't have the capital to get it done. That's
right,
a you problem,
exactly.
And because you jumped too soon. It's a fair point. But so you're in position now. Now you want to wait and see who becomes available, and then of course, like I said, you got to now make it happen. This is where the pressure goes back on Joe Douglas. All right,
Does Shaq Barrett become available next year? We know he's out there. He's a tremendous pass rusher. Does Clowney take a 1 year prove it deal, and then Clowney becomes available, or does Johnny become available next year? So now you have opportunity that maybe you got the money to get one, you know, three of those players, but you wouldn't have been able to get those players because you had to pay Jamal. If not this year, next year, so you'll be asking yourself, do I want to spend money on a pass rusher and Jamal? No, now you got Jamal replaced for nothing because you got productivity from Marcus May, and now you can go out and you can say, okay, well, if I have to overspend $2 million to make somebody come to the Jets, I got that money.
All right, I got to ask you a question, too, just related to this in a minute, but let's get one more call in here. We got a lot of calls to get to. Vin in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Vin.
Hey, guys. Good day.
What's up? What up?
How's everything?
Maintaining.
I definitely agree with you 100%, Bart. I was listening to you with Canty earlier, and definitely to get the hole we got for his safety and to get possibly get an edge rusher in the future, I mean, it's a no-brainer, so that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's what it's about, man. If you're disgruntled and his timing doesn't match up when the Jets are ready to win, the Jets may possibly be saying, "Hey, you know what? I got, you know, we may get Le'Veon Bell off the stick, so now I got even more money to go out and get somebody else." Now, if I'm the Jets, I'm looking for disgruntled stars. I'm looking for that right tackle.
All right. So before we get back to the calls, and we'll get into the Thibodeau Knicks stuff, 2 o'clock hour. Of course, we continue the conversation, Jamal Adams, Jets, and keep an eye on what's happening with the Marlins, the Phillies, the Yankees, and Major League Baseball kind of in this moment right now where one of their teams, the Marlins, has a little bit of an outbreak, and how do they react to it? So we'll keep an eye on anything newsworthy that comes out of that because owners are meeting and discussing right now some protocols that they have to go through. But after the Jamal Adams trade, Le'Veon Bell really went in on him on Twitter and called him out for basically saying like, how you talked me into coming here and you bail.
First sign of trouble.
Yeah, really. And then Jamal's response was like, yeah, see you week 14 or whatever when the Jets play the Seahawks. And then he went back at him again. Like, as if they don't give me that. Like, he is that legit? Like, does Bell have a case here? And
yeah,
and does it show you that Bell might have a little more loyalty to this franchise than we thought?
Well, it seems like, you know, Bell is all in, even though we all think that he's not going to be here next year because Gase doesn't really feature a running back. He puts a lot of value in a running back, and then, you know, he's making top-end money. He didn't get top-end productivity. Let's see with the beefed-up offensive line what that means. You know, but it's going to be interesting because Jamal's going to have to adjust because he doesn't play in the same system. You know, when do you ever see the Seattle Seahawks blitz? Almost never. So now he's going to have to be like that Cam Chancellor in the box, or is he Earl Thomas? Earl Thomas never blitzed when he was there. So if he's the Cam Chancellor role, he's going to be sitting in cover three all day. So if you're sitting in cover three all day, and I know that's where you're going to be, then it's ways to attack Jamal. Jamal's strength was never, you know, okay, he's a lockdown cover guy. So if that's the case, he may be getting a lot of sauce. Just think what he got. Okay, Jamal, let's see what you got to deal with. You got to deal with this dude named Kittles in your division. And he don't care. You can be big bad Jamal at 214 all you want. If Shanahan says, hey, Kittles, I don't want him to come close to the running back, then he ain't coming close to the running back. That's why Seattle was all in, because Seattle got bullied. And Seattle's one of those places like Baltimore, like the Jets used to be when I was there, that you can't beat me up physically. And they were the Legion. They ain't had no boom. So they went all in because they needed boom, and they understand that, hey, Bob Wagner is on his way out. Bob Wagner is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been the top middle linebacker for all this time.
I need that drop, man. That's one of the best things you've ever said.
But
they were the Legion. They had no boom. I need that.
Because you got to think, they had Earl Thomas and they had Cam Chancellor. And in the course of 1 year, they lost both of them. So now they don't have that enforcer type. Now, Wagner is one of the best in the game. They don't have a pass rusher at all either. So that means that Jamal, now if you're in that cover three that everybody knows that you're in, and they motion Kittles over there to your side, and they know that you have him man-to-man, you could get exposed. You can get exploited. That's going to be a part of your game that you're going to have to prove that you can do on a consistent basis.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, if they motion him over, that means Kittle has you in a running game, and Kittle loves to block in the running game. So it can be a tough sledding for you as well. You're going to have to adjust. You went to a team that should be a playoff team, but it may not win that division because it's far from the best team in that division. When you think about San Francisco is a young team that got better, that traded one of their top-end pieces to Indianapolis and replaced him with the perfect fit in Kinlaw. So, I mean, be careful what you wish for, because you can be out of the playoffs this year and the Jets can be just as close next year with your picks than they were this year. They were the Legion. They ain't had no boom.
Love that. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Go ahead, Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, Alan? Long time no speak. Miss you at 7 o'clock, baby.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
What's up, Bart? What's going on?
What up, though?
I'll tell you what, though. The night in the summertime, the night was popping. Yeah, you got mm-hmm. Bart. I got to tell you, the night always was popping in the summer. Yeah. Everybody says the summer's like the dog days of radio. Not at night. We had games going on. I used to yell at the TV like crazy. Calls. We had a blast in the summer at night. Definitely.
Good memories, man. Good memories, man.
Absolutely.
I gotta come at you a little bit, bro. You cannot compare Porzingis to Jamal Adams. I mean, maybe with the part of the Discord, but Jamal Adams was all pro at his position. Porzingis was
continually
hurt here.
He was an all-star, though. You're right about that. He got hurt, but he was an all-star by his third year, and he was the face of the franchise and a very important player that you drafted. And they could not get a relationship with him. Just like Jamal, they couldn't get the guy to become the foundational player that you need a top four pick to become.
Listen, we all knew that Adams was. If you had a brain, you knew that Adams wasn't going to be here next year. You positioned it, you know, and got kind of what he wanted.
Yeah.
But you know, let's be honest. This is the part that pisses me off all the time as a Jets fan. It's all this peripheral stuff. It's Adams. Is this versus that? We have a bad ownership group that got worse when the brother took over, and you know we're consistently losing. It was not about money with Adams, really. Adams used money as a way to get out of here because he was tired of losing. And now next year, you know, everybody says about, you know, they talk about how Sam Darnold, he's under review, and I'm not married to him like my man Mark from Newark always says. But if you were Sam Darnold's family member, much less whether we're going to offer him another contract. What in the hell would you want to stay here for? He's going to be on his third coach in 4 years because we all know Adam Gase is not surviving this year. But you know that's going to happen.
But let me tell you, I will bank my reputation on Joe Douglas. Listen, it's one of those things. Like,
so you know him. You got some history there. So
yes,
yeah.
It's like Mike Jones, man. You know, now I'm hot, you're all on me. Back then, you didn't want me. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, this is the beginning of the turnaround. No longer are unqualified people at positions of power. You got a grown-up in Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas told Sam Darnold's mother that I'm going to protect your son. Can't do it this year because I just got on the job. I am going to protect your son. What did he do? You got backups. You got starters that are backups now. You got competition at every offensive lineman position, including left tackle. If Becton can't figure it out, you got Ndoga, who showed a lot of promise last year. So now so that's one promise that he's taking care of. He got him deep threat weapons. Whatever you want to say about Perryman, he didn't want to give Robbie Anderson that money because he thought the talent didn't warrant the salary. So he went and found an equal but reasonably cost replacement at the same price. Anybody can argue all you want. Perryman is a former number one first round draft pick. He balled out in the second half in the Bruce Arians system. Mm-hmm. He did that, and then he said, "You know what? I'm gonna throw another big target on him for you, Sam. I'm gonna go get Mims for you too." And you already got your Crowder last year, or I didn't get your Crowder, but Crowder's here last year. That's somebody that can move the chains for you. You have Le'Veon, so you can say every promise that he said, he's done. And I'm gonna argue that he replaced Jamal Adams, you know, with Marcus May and with McDougal, because you could say those two players can equal that productivity.
And drafted with the third-round pick, also another safety that they hope is going to be part of the mix.
And Austin Davis, right? Yeah. And he's going to be a dime backer. He's going to be a guy that you could – so he's done all of that, and he saved you money to be able to get that super special talented player that falls through the cracks that you can get. So, like, I believe in Joe Douglas, and I tell you what, he has a plan, and those plans usually take 3 to 4 years. You know what I'm saying? And he's in year, really, one and a half of his plan, and he's off to a hell of a start. Because you can say whatever you want. The defense was top 10 with Jamal last year. You add C.J. Mosley, and I think they're still top 10. But I think the offense is better, which is going to help the defense better. So all good for me.
As we're saying, I mean, see what the draft picks become, but if you really are critical of the Jets right now, you're not paying attention. I mean, they got basically what the Raiders got for Khalil Mack.
Mack.
Maybe even better. Like, so I don't know. Like, again, picks have to become something. I'm the guy that says currency of hope, so don't get me wrong. But Bart's telling you he believes in Joe Douglas, and he has some background to understand who Joe Douglas is and what school he came from, because Bart came from the same damn school. So I would say that if you want to listen to a credible voice about this, it's this show, it's this guy, right? So let's just start with that. The other major headline of the day right now is involving baseball and how they are trying to just regroup after news that more Miami Marlins players have tested positive. Up to 14 in the travel group of the Marlins now have tested positive for COVID. They just played in Philadelphia. They were supposed to play their home opener today. That has been postponed. The Yankees were supposed to now move from the Nationals. They go from Washington to Philly. They're in Philly, supposed to play today. That game has been postponed, as they now want to fumigate that visitor's clubhouse, of course, but also just make sure that the Phillies players are being tested today and see if there are any positives now among the Phillies who had just played a series with the Marlins. So you have that to keep an eye on. And then there's the sport of itself, meeting as owners, just trying to figure out where do they go from here. For the most part, it does sound like, as we're seeing some reports out there, that the plan would be right now is to have whatever players are quarantined and fine. The Marlins now have to find some of their other guys that are in, you know, I guess, what would you call it? That there's no minor league right now, but they're in that other training facility, like the Yankees sent Clint Frazier to. You call those guys up. You fill out your ride, you play. And that's really what you hope to do. But we'll see what happens. And the question, of course, is can baseball survive without a bubble? It's a lot of games and a lot of travel and not a lot of days off and a lot of contact, even though it's not physical contact. You saw it all weekend. The dugouts were filled with guys who either weren't wearing masks or were giving high fives. And it felt normal for a minute, but now, of course, this happens. So we keep an eye on that and where baseball goes from here. But what we do know is there'll be no Yankee baseball today. That much we do know. They do expect to play tomorrow. So with that going on, the Jamal Adams stuff going on, we'll take your calls on that, certainly. Bart, now we lead to the other story we knew we'd be talking about today, which broke over the weekend. Woj, welcome back, by the way, off his suspension. He was the one who tweeted it, and I was glad to see him back. It's good to see Woj back, even on our TVs as well, talking hoops. But is Tom Thibodeau now will be named at some point this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday, we'll see, the head coach of the New York Knicks. It's the name that we all saw as the front runner, kind of expected he would be the guy. There were other names that came up. We were excited about Kenny Atkinson. Some people brought up Jason Kidd. Mike Woodson could actually still be part of something on the coaching staff, which would be great. Mike Miller is also expected to stick around after the job he did as interim coach. We'll see who else is part of the coaching staff with Tom Thibodeau. But people now, Bart, are going to bring up the obvious criticism when it comes to Tom Thibodeau. Because even though he had a terrific run in Chicago, was coach of the year, got his team to a conference final, they were always top 10 in defense, top 5 a lot of times, a couple of times number 1 in field goal percentage defense. They were always a difficult team to play against. But he is a demanding old school coach that young players, especially in Minnesota, did not respond well to. The other criticism is that he tends to overplay players. Some people criticize him, saying you overplayed Derrick Rose. That's why his knees broke down. Jimmy Butler at one point was critical of the 40 minutes he was playing a night, saying that this blank's got to stop. Eventually got traded out of Minnesota. But, you know, people point to that and say that Tibbs and players don't really get along, that he's a hard coach to play for. I'll read you a quote from Jimmy Butler. That was right after he was traded from Chicago to Minnesota to reunite with his coach. And he said, don't get me wrong, I love playing for Tibbs. He's always working, always studying the game. You always see him in the gym, in his office. You're going to ride for guys that do that because you know at the end of the day, they're going to work just as hard as you are. But now after he was traded out of Minnesota, and ugly, you saw him yelling at everybody, yelling at Scott Layden, the GM, fighting with his teammates, just everything he could to get out of there. He gets traded to Philly, and you would think, all right, Butler's probably tired of Thibodeau at this point, right? He's probably going to rip him like he was ripping everybody else. This is the quote. Tibbs is my guy. The world knows that. You know that. It was hard going through that with Tibbs, but he knew what it was for the most part. I have so much respect for him. See, I feel like, Bart, players don't. People feel like the player is supposed to love the coach.
No.
You know, like, they have to respect the coach.
Respect, exactly.
They also have to trust him to put him in a position to be successful, right? And you had this with Rex, I imagine, and other coaches you played for. So you can relate to this. I think the only thing that Tom Thibodeau has to face, which I think he's done now as he's kind of backed away from the game a little bit, took some time to decompress. He's 62 now. And this is all he knows. He's doesn't have kids, not married. He's a basketball coach. He watches film incessantly. He's obsessed with the game. He loves the game. He's everything that a New York basketball fan is. Mm-hmm. Right? I love the game so much, I'll watch the damn Knicks play. And I don't even know half the team. I don't know half the guys on the roster, but I'm watching them. I don't care who they are. Alexei Shved is playing for the Knicks. I'm still watching the damn game. Nope. That's how dedicated fans are. That's how much he loves basketball. He's got to face that rep, in my opinion, Bart. He's got to face that head on and understand that the game is changing, that there are younger players that might not really take well to you just barking at them constantly, right. That you have to develop a personal relationship with some players, that they have to trust you, that not only are you preparing them to play, which his teams are always prepared, but you also care enough about their person, whatever it is personally for them, what they want and need as a player. You got to get the young players to buy in because, as we've seen, his teams are always prepared. They're never out-coached, but they do burn out with him. And right. That's going to be the complaint right now, as you're hearing from Knicks fans that didn't want him as head coach, is the fear that, okay, great, you got this guy, and for 1 year maybe they'll be good, but by year two, guys will be tired of him, and we'll be now back in that cycle of finding the next head coach. So my question is A, does he have to change because of today's athlete? Can he make the adjustment, which is probably the harder thing to do?
Well, change is a big word. evolve a little bit. I mean, I guess that is change, but evolve to me symbolizes just a little change. It's like putting a little shine on it, understanding that today's athlete is different, understanding that you have to be able to relate to them, understanding that they don't retain or they don't have the attention span of players of old. You know, but when you say that to me, when you decide to hire Thibodeau, it's because you know who he is and what you get. And that includes the discipline and the hard work, which some of these players typically on the Knicks may just need. They may need to be running the ground. They need minutes. They need experience. But my question to you would be, when Leon Rose decided to make this hire, what does that mean about this roster? What does that mean about Leon Rose's plan to build this team? Does that mean that it's going to be aggressive in making trades and trying to make this team better immediately? Or does it mean that you say, you know what, if we are able to get a high draft pick, we're going to keep that draft pick, and we're going to trust all these scouting departments, the guy from Utah that we brought in, all the people that we brought in, we're going to trust them to do their job because we know that they have a tremendous track record? Or are you going to say, we're going to sit down with Tibbs in our think tank, we're going to see what moves he wants to make immediately? Because remember, he also was like the general manager with Minnesota as well. He made a lot of moves. And you can say the Wiggins move, was that a good move? Was it not? We're talking about bringing Zach LaVine here. You know, was that a move? You know, he's the one who got Zach LaVine out of there.
But
you know,
he traded. He liked LaVine, but he had to give up something to get something. And he really felt like Butler and his competitive fire was definitely the kind of guy he needed there. And oh, by the way, he got him and Taj Gibson to bring in some of that, you know, the culture that he had in Chicago. And all that did was end a 13-year a playoff drought. Yeah. That's all. I'm sorry. Is that not success? 47 wins in the West.
Yeah.
Right. And you end a playoff drought. And the following year, obviously with injuries, and then, of course, people just started turning on him. Like, nobody wanted to hear it anymore. It was mostly about the younger players. By the way, Wiggins now is no longer there. Keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Wiggins is now in Golden State, and he's going to have to buy in with the Warriors and become the player that everybody thinks he's got a ton of talent, but never really wants to work hard to become to reach the potential he's got.
Next level.
And people get frustrated with you. This is stop number two now for him.
Yeah.
So let's see. Because if he was the one that really was bristling about Tibbs, and I know Carl Anthony Towns didn't really love him either, but I don't know Cat to be a guy that turns on a coach. I think that might have been where you get enough guys complaining and then everybody starts complaining.
Right.
But I think for Wiggins, we'll find out who was right and who was wrong by how he does with Golden State. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah, but Golden State, this is a crazy thing, right? This is an amazing thing about culture. When you get a guy like Wiggins in, he has to adjust to the culture because it's not acceptable there. Draymond won't let him do that. Clay Thompson,
the guy to watch.
All the stars are the hardest workers.
Well, don't be the reason why we can't win a championship,
right?
Because you'll hear from us. And that's what I think is important for Tom is to have in this locker room, which is why the Knicks are going to have to make some adjustments to this roster because they don't really have the pieces leadership wise in the room.
Right.
It's a very young roster. You're going to need some guys that will do the accountability for you. The guys that'll look around and say, hey, I didn't come to New York to lose. I didn't come to New York to be booed. Don't you be the guy that's you know, the hole in our defense. Don't be the guy that's not willing to put in the work, so I'm losing. You know,
right.
Let the play. I almost feel like that has to happen, and I'm sure you've been in locker rooms where that's the case. It certainly makes life easier for the coach, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we got here, we had to establish that here, too. When I came with Rex, like, listen, man, we ain't going to be no complaining. Ain't going to be no clicks. We all won.
No same old Jets.
Yeah. Nobody want to hear you talking and complaining and bitching and moaning. No step up.
Did you ever have a moment like that where you had to, where you and maybe a couple other vets had to go find somebody and have a talk with them about what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We don't do that around here. I don't know what y'all been doing, but no, we work around here. We have fun. We joke and Rex loosey-goosey. But listen, when it comes about what we put on film, that's our mission statement. When people turn on this film, they expect to see a certain type of defense when you talk about a Rex Ryan defense. Like, it's certain things that we send in messages from other people. It's intimidating when every time you make a tackle, you got all 11 people in the film. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, hold up. If this dude missed, then he going to shoot me. If he missed, then he going to shoot. Man, I'm just going down, bro. Because like, I may make one miss, but every time I make somebody miss, I'm standing up. I'm going to get ear hole. Nah, man. They run to the ball. Nah, man. We call it the jet lag. Gently. Like bros didn't want that smoke. Like, nah. And that's what you have to do. See, it's one of those two things, right? Sometimes, organically, when you have a young team, you develop it over a course of time. You saw that with the Legion of Boom. You saw that with the young Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and Eldon Smiths. Like, you can develop it with a young, but it takes time. It takes 3 years. Or you can import it. So what I'm saying is Tibbs going to develop it, or is he going to import it?
Great question.
Or is it going to be a mixture of the two?
That's a great question.
Veterans that are already going to extend that message, or is he going to develop it and hold these guys accountable and say we're going to be young?
It's I love that. That's a great question to ask. Is he going to develop it or import it, or is he going to do a little of both? And I would think the answer would have to be a little bit of both, because when you have a guy like Mitchell Robinson,
yeah,
who can be a Joakim Noah anchor of your defense, defensive player of the year type, you know, that's a player. He's going to have to teach him, but he's got a lot of physical ability that he now has to figure out. It's 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's see how Knicks fans feel about Tom Thibodeau as their next head coach. Jimbo in Harlem. What's up, Jimbo?
Fellas, what's going on?
What's happening?
What up?
What's going on? I think that the Tom Thibodeau hire, I love Tib. I think he's a great coach. I think he's definitely top seven coaches in the league when it comes down, when he's on the team. But I just don't think that the hire is great. And I say that because the fact of, you know, Tibbs is a guy of defense. You understand right now that this Knicks team, these guys are young. They're still trying to find their identity. I think Tibbs.
Well, that's going to be their identity, though, Jimbo. Defense is going to be the identity, and those who don't fit it, you know, you're going to fit out.
Yeah, but these, when I say trying to find, these guys are still trying to figure out who they are. You got the Kevin Knox. You think Kevin Knox needs to be more confused? I think Tom Thibodeau, I think that hire should have been with the Nets. I think the Jason Kidds, the Mark Jacksons. I think that Knicks team, this young team, they need that kind of energy, you know. But it also comes down to the fact of the Knicks trying to figure out if they want to still now. The next question is if they want to continue to build or they want to, you know, dismantle this team and they want to get veterans. You understand? But Thibodeau is more of a veterans type of guy.
Yeah, I think, you know what, thanks for the call. I think that's what's going to be to watch. It's going to be a real short off season. They're not going to have a lot of time to get things done. So I wonder now that they have the coach, and a lot of players know it's the coach, here come the back channel stuff now. All right, get your ducks in the row so when you do get to an offseason, you're ready to make the moves that you need to make so you can get ready for your training camp. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey.
Hey. Hey, what's Alan, up? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I know you were on the Kenny Atkinson boat just like I was, but up until the Tibbs announcement was made over the weekend, there was, you know, there was a grouping of Knicks fans all over the place. Some people wanted Tibbs, you know, Mike Woodson fans came out of the grave for the last couple of weeks and stuff like that. I just hate what they did in the media over the weekend, where it was Tibbs, and all of a sudden they just said, "Well, Jason Kidd is the front runner," and Knicks fans all exploded, and then all the people who wanted Kenny Atkinson, all the people who wanted Tom Thibodeau, all the people didn't even care about any of that. They just said, "No, Jason Kidd,
right? United
in one
thing." And
then they finally said, "No, we'll have Tom Thibodeau, we'll get Tom Thibodeau," and everybody's just so beaten down that it's like, okay, we'll take Tom Thibodeau. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how do you feel on that? You know, at least it's a done deal and he's the guy. And Woodson's going to be part of the coaching staff, I believe. And Mike Miller's also expected to stay along.
I definitely like the fact that they're bringing those two along and stuff like that. It's all the things. Is I don't like bringing in a new guy when there's all these questions in the back. All I'm thinking about is I'm praying for RJ and Mitchell Robinson's knees every night.
I appreciate the call. I mean, you know, that's going to be the cliche that goes along with it. Bart,
but one thing about Knox, too, is that what we have to understand is he can't let his offense affect his defense. And the fact, if you got somebody that's going to come in and say, hey, the way you're going to get on this court is paying lockdown, defense, help defense, getting in the lanes, being
I don't
active.
Care what you do on offense. Right.
Right, right. It ain't
if
about that.
If you're good for business on defense, then you're going to play.
Exactly. If you get in the lanes, you learn how to run the floor, you got to be in tremendous shape to be with Tibbs. Listen, it ain't about how long you play. It's like, how fast you play when you're in there. We'll get you out there when you're tired, but give me 100% every time. You develop those type of habits in these guys' head where they got that dog mentality. When you can take a guy like Neela Keena, you can take Knox, who may be struggling offensively trying to figure out their way, but they can be lockdown defenders, willing defenders, man, and you got a bunch of – you develop a bunch of Patrick Lil Beverleys, you good. You can win with
you
that.
You bring up Frank, man. You bring up Neela Keena. There's a real interesting name now all of a sudden. That does Thibodeau look at him and think – oh, I'm going to turn this kid loose. Like, I got something now. He's never really been taught. Wait till I get my hands on this kid. Does he see him as that, or does he see him as a piece to trade? That is also another name. I mentioned Robinson, who's an obvious one. But, you know, Neela Keena all of a sudden becomes a real curious case now, is if Thibodeau gets his hands on him, now that he's 3 years in the league and he's mature, he's 21, he's a grown man now. Yeah, is what is
still a baby, man.
Well, he does look like he's still a baby.
Yeah, but I'm saying 21 is still a baby, man.
What does he turn him into, though? That's something definitely to keep an eye on. All right, one more here. Patrick from Brooklyn. Patrick.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Thanks. Yeah, I like to call in and comment on this new hire. I believe, personally, it's a great hire. Because you're talking about a guy, yes, we've heard some rumors in terms of him running guys to the ground. But if you are really about, you know, getting the Knicks back on track, getting someone with good credibility. Remember, he was with the Boston squad that won it all in 2008. Yeah.
So he's always had a top five, top 10 defense. He's always had a top five, top 10 defense. Always.
Exactly. So to me, he's the right guy. Yes, we couldn't get the 6 year names to come on, but sometimes you got to get with the guy who's proven that he's able to do it. And despite all the chatter, I think he's been able to consistently be able to achieve everywhere he's been. So I think we need to give him a chance and see what he does.
All right, Patrick, thanks very much for that. I mean, that's really, you don't have a choice. You're going to give him a chance. And, you know, I think how the roster looks with him is going to be something to see. But they have their coach. We'll see who the coaching staff is. And they get a guy who a lot of people will tell you is, when he's coaching a team, is always the guy that you consider one of the best coaches in the game, one of the smartest, hardest workers, never outcoached, team's always prepared. If you're a Knicks fan, how would you not want something like that? So the commissioner goes to Twitter, or the NFL actually did. The commissioner put out a statement minutes ago, Bart, as NFL training camps now will start to get set to open. What is it? The PA so far, by the way, just let's do the math. So far, it's 20 out of the is it 32 teams, right? So 20 teams so far. The players' union has approved on their IDER, infectious disease emergency plans, 20 of the clubs. One of them would be the Jets. Hmm. So they are all set. The Giants also have been approved. So far, it's still pending for others, including the Patriots, because the Patriots cheat. No, I'm just kidding. But then the commissioner put out a statement, Roger Goodell, while this year will forever be defined by a heartbreaking global pandemic and a transformative social justice movement, I am reminded of the tenacious, resilient spirit of our country, the NFL community, and you, the greatest fans in the world. And to this I say, what is this for?
For real? Like, who? Put something out?
Like, that's one of those things where, like, you run into a friend of yours and he just, like, says something random to you. It's like, hey, Bart, nice day, right? You're like, yeah, pretty much. Like, I don't know what to say to it. You know, I get that they're opening camps, and I think he just wanted to say something.
I guess.
But this felt like just,
like, next,
you know,
time.
Word salad.
Yeah, you don't have to say nothing. Just next time. Just say, hey, see you later. All right. And then come back and tell me what you would. Yeah. Come on.
Whatever. But, hey, commission made a statement. Baseball's still trying to figure out what to do as they're looking into it. Like, we haven't had any word yet for how the Phillies, who are now being tested because they just played the Marlins, who have a whole bunch of people now with the virus. So we'll see what happens with baseball. But no Yankee game. If you just join us, no Yankee game tonight. They were supposed to play the Phillies, but I don't know about you. I'm not going to that damn visitors clubhouse right now at Citizens Bank. I'm all set. Let's get this thing fumigated first. Yeah, little fumigation.
Even tomorrow, I'm telling the Phillies, y'all like it so much, y'all believe it's clean, y'all go in there.
You guys, why don't you guys use the visitors' dugout? Go ahead. Why don't you guys use all this? We'll come over to your side.
Yeah, we'll take y'all's. Y'all still the home team, but no. Professional courtesy.
800-919-3776. Tessa in West Caldwell. Tessa.
Hey, guys.
What's
Thanks
happening?
Thanks so much for taking my call.
Before you start, why did LeBron call and tell Lou Williams?
Here we go.
Listen, let me tell you something right now, Bart. That's the smoke you don't want today. It's a buffet. You don't want that smoke today because, you know, I'm ready for you. I can't even wait to get started with that. He got the gray beard. He's jumping from half court dunking. Knock it off. Knock it off. You better worry about the claw. That's what you better worry about. And he's telling because he need to be healthy. My dude need to be healthy. That's why he's telling. So that's why he's telling. But, Bart, on some munchie tip, this weekend when I was excited doing the stinky leg watching the Yankees, I was eating Starburst jelly beans. I was scared for a second. Like, yo, I did go back to the Side Patch Kids, but those was really good. So I just want to say, if you want to switch a little bit, try those.
Yeah, the gummies are good too, man. The gummy bears with the little liquid in the middle.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at a rehab meeting, and like you guys are just going over
floss,
like all.
Bart, you got to floss immediately after those gummies go with stuff in the middle, because if
it's
not, you get all
the
little cavities.
Yeah, it's the cavities.
But okay, so listen, so guys, I want to say first of all, I'm so excited about the Yankees. I mean, I'm just so excited. But anyway, I wanted to talk really quick about the Stripper. Like I said, these not my teams, but I still am a sports fan. You know what this hire reminded me of? When the Giants hired TC. Everybody was just saying, oh, Coughlin is better. Sometimes you need that shot in the arm. Like, what do the Knicks have to lose? They need this. They need somebody pushing them. They don't even have a mega star to get pushed into the ground and tear his knees all apart. They need this shot. Let's see what this guy could do. Sometimes you need a culture change, and just like how TC changed it, yes, he evolved and tweaked a little bit. The straight hands and all of them was like, listen, you got to calm down, my dude. But eventually, they still bought into what he was trying to sell. It's the same thing with Thibodeau. I understand running people on the ground. I understand about what happened in Minnesota. But the Knicks need this. They needed a guy like this. So what if he make them work? They need to work. What are they doing? Losing continually? So they need this. This hire really reminds me of Tom Coughlin. I think it's going to work out for the best. Just give this dude a little bit of time. Just give him some time. But I think it's going to work out for the best. They need a new culture change. And I think he's gonna bring it.
Tess, you always bring it. I appreciate the call, Tess. And it's funny, the comparison you just made there with Tom Coughlin is exactly what you saw in the New York Post. Mark Berman made that same comparison. TC comes in with that rep, being tough on his players. Yeah. Did also have blood in the ground because he did coach in New York with the Giants.
Right.
Tom Thibodeau coached for 7 years or almost 8 seasons with Jeff Van Gundy. So he's got blood in the ground here. He's from New Britain, Connecticut, which I know is a little bit closer to Boston, but doesn't matter. He grew up with the Knicks in the back of his mind, his family connected to the Knicks as far as fan base goes. So for him, this has always been the job. And I know this personally as well, just from years of talking to him in the past. The Nick job always meant a lot to him. And for him to get it was special for him. And like Tom Coughlin did have to adjust himself and met with his players and got some of the vets, the Strahan and Tiki and those guys. All right, we need a leadership council then. You guys run the locker room then. You guys come to me when there's issues and we'll talk it out. Thibodeau probably has to have that same type of thing happen in the Knick locker room.
I mean, when you're a team without an identity, then, you know, you need somebody to give you one, to show you how to create one, right? So he's coming here, and, oh, Tom Thibodeau, his practices aren't fun. Let me tell you something what's fun, son. You want to know what's fun? Winning's fun.
Winning.
And guess what? And we can't win, and you ain't been having a lot of fun around here in a long time.
Been six years, man.
You've tried it your way. Let's try it my way. Let's work our ass off. Let's get down and let's work. Because the only way we're going to close these holes and fill these holes up is to work. So let's fill these damn holes up. And when we start winning some games, I'll back off a little bit because then we'll be having fun. But until we're having fun, ain't nobody going to be having no fun. Now get on the line, Cookie.
You just got me fired up, by the way.
Fired up.
Ian Rapoport reporting that DeAndre Baker of the Giants put on the commissioner's exempt list. No surprise there.
What's up with
all those armed robbery charges he's got going on? So.
Hold on, no, we ain't kicking with that. No, we let the Giants. You see how the Giants be getting off the hook?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Giants be getting off the hook lately, man.
Oh my God, the Giants and kickers, how's that going? And then Canizero, by the way, can I just say this? How about Canizero? Can he retire? Can he?
The guy
can't walk away. He literally can't kick. He proved it with the Jets last year. The Giants are like, well, we need a kicker. Like, kicker is the best job to have in sports, is it not? It's the best job to have.
They're like, all right, here's $2 million.
The guy literally can't kick. He even said it himself. I'm retiring because I can't do this anymore. And the Giants are like, you want a couple mil? Yeah, sure. Okay.
hey, put the Salisbury steak back in the freezer. I'll be gone for a couple months.
Oh, but you're right, though. The Giants are under the radar.
Yeah, they get under the radar. They've been having a crazy-ass offseason. You got a drunk kicker hitting everybody. Man. You got a dude that think he Omar from The Wire robbing everybody. And then he get nobody saying nothing. But everybody want to put all this smoke on the Jets. And when I called Chris Canty today, he had nothing to talk about. What's this this craziness going on in Jet
you
Nation?
Are you in Canada?
Are you kidding me? Think about what you're saying.
I almost feel like we got to get you guys, face-to-face.
I'm just saying,
man. We
got
to get you guys to battle it out a little bit. We need like a Oklahoma drill and audio Oklahoma drill.
Let's do it.
That's what we need between you two because Canty was coming after the Jets, man. You had to.
Yeah, hard, man. I ain't saying and I let the Giants off the hook, man. They crazy kickers, man. They got this. Listen, this is the second crazy kicker they had. The other dude was telling people to call him Jesus.
Oh, they've got all kinds of issues there. Yeah. 800-919-3776.
They need to just go for it on fourth down, man. No more kickers in their organization. Go for it on four downs, man. Analytics.
I'll tell you what, Hamlin's got to be happy because there's everything else going on. He doesn't have to deal with this at all. He doesn't have to worry about media bugging him about it. No. We're not even a big story. What are you talking about? How are you not doing the Jets story? How about the Knicks? How about what's going on with baseball?
No, Jamal.
All right, let's grab some more calls here. Let's go with Chris in Long Beach. Chris.
Barton Hahn, what is up? First of all, good. I just wanted to say thank you for taking my call. Hahn, I'm a big fan, and I'm a huge Jets fan. So, you know, I'm very, very fond of my man, Mr. Scott, over here.
Yes,
I think about,
appreciate it.
I'm a younger Jets fan, so can't wait. It's sort of like the Jets statement of my generation. But I digress. I just wanted to thank you guys for being one of the few objective sports talk radio people that acknowledge that the Jets did something really good, and they really had no room to move. I mean, Jamal put them in a really bad spot, and Joe Douglas, very quietly, he's taking heat from a lot of different areas. I think Joe Douglas is doing a tremendous job, and this is his first draft coming up. So, I really appreciate what he's doing, and, you know, I'm just curious as to what the future of free agency and sort of the pseudo free agency when you get these superstar players coming off their rookie contract, are we going to see this more? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Well, as long as the squeaky wheel keeps getting the oil, you're going to see it in some places. But you saw down in Jacksonville, they stayed pat, and Donkwe didn't get anything. You saw Dak Prescott. So it all depends on the situation and where the team and the organization is. Like, I'm not giving in to a player that's a great player, but hasn't equated to wins. You know, I know Chris came in with the wins over replacement type of stuff. That's hogwash, man, because once you put CJ Mosley back in the lineup, that productivity that you miss is equal to me. You know what I mean? You don't think CJ can get six sacks and 100 and some tackles? Well, hell, he showed you that he can take pick sixes to the house in a half. You know, and you look at what he's done over the course of his career. You talk about playing to the back of your rookie card or back of your playing card. He does that. So I feel like, you know, like this was a move that had to be made, and you don't want to have a full diet of this. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to get rid of a disgruntled guy.
That's exactly it. I mean, you got what do you do there? You let the player run the franchise. Is that what we do? Because that's been the problem forever. When the owner decides he's going to get close to the player and let the player then run the franchise, you can't do that. You can't. You've got to have control of your franchise. And when a player is doing what he's doing, and Jamal was making it abundantly clear that he wanted out. In fact, he made it so clear that his agent wrote a story and it was published in a newspaper with somebody else's name on it. And let's be honest, that's exactly what that story was. Yeah. 100%. That's what that story was. Yeah, anything to get out of here. Well, that's great. But if you're trying to get the circus tents down and get your franchise to have some type of credibility and respectability, then what do? Always cater to the player. If they gave Jamal what he wanted before they did any kind of winning, and now you're tying up cap space to a safety. It's a safety. It's a different story if it's a edge rusher or a quarterback or a left tackle. Those are the ones you have to worry, because when you get something special there, you hang on to it, whatever it takes. But it's a safety. Do you really want to give up cap space before you've even built anything that can win to a guy that hasn't helped you win? He's been good for him. Jamal Adams has been good for his business, not for the Jet business. And he was actually, because of the way he was acting publicly, he was bad for Jet business now. So that's where you draw the line. And if you can get first-round picks, two of them, and a player who can actually play for you right now. You do it, you move on, and now you make sure you do something with those picks so you can prove that this was the right move. But you still have to prove that first. But anybody in their right mind that looks at this and said the Jets are a joke because they traded Jamal Adams, you have an agenda that basically is, whatever the Jets do, I'm going to crap all over it.
Right.
And that, to me, says more about you than it does the Jets. Bart, I feel like we almost have to go rapid fire here with like little more than 8 minutes left before we hand it off to the K Show. Do you think we can clear the board? Do you think it's possible that our listeners, those callers right now on hold, we can like quick make your point, take, move on, right?
Yeah, pull on it, pull up.
Our move here is, let's see how fast we can blast through all these calls, because they're random. They're all over the place. This is how we like it.
Three-man weave.
All right, here we go. Ready? We can even start the clock if we want to. I think that'd be fun if we do that. So rapid-fire calls beginning with Jarrell in the Bronx. Go, Jarrell.
Guys, so excited to be on the show. I'll be real quick. Do you feel like the media is controlling the narrative with Tibbs? Because from what I read, players just enjoy playing for him. The guys who are grinding are excited to get in the gym with him. Or do you really feel like these young players are not excited to play with him?
I'll tell you what, Jarrell, all the things I've read are positive about Tibbs in the media. I think the media coverage of Tibbs has been very positive. I think it's the fans and bloggers who are attacking him more than anything. But
so you think it's an old narrative that they're trying to?
I think it's lazy. I think it's more lazy than anything else. And it's always with your last job. It's always that, your last job. And his last job, as we know, did not work out great. Milton in Brooklyn, Milton.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Real quick. I just think that the media and everybody's so used to the Jets always messing up the history that we have these moves to make, and they screwed up. But you know what? They did it right, and people can't handle it. You know what makes ratings? Mad, screaming, crying, upset Jet fans. And that's what these radio hosts want. They can't handle the fact that we're actually happy we made a good move. You know what? It's time for change. Thank you, Douglas. The guy's out. Let's move on. The Jets have a bright future now. Stop crying and waiting for Jet fans to be upset. We're not stupid.
Great job, Milton. That's a fantastic call. That's exactly it. Don't let them tell you how to feel.
Yeah.
Do your own homework if they're too lazy to do the homework. This was a hell of a trade. A hell of a trade. I hate the fact that he went to a team with a good defense and a good defensive coach and he could have success there. I hate that he sort of wins too, but I don't even care. Move on. Sam in Brooklyn. Sam.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Real quick. I love the Jamal trade. Just one thing that really bothers me, the fact that we keep saying that, oh, if he was a pass rusher, we were paying big bucks. We don't pay big bucks to a safety. So what are we doing drafting a safety in the top six? Doesn't make sense. If the best-case scenario returns all pro and we're not going to pay him anyways, so it's not even worth drafting that high.
Well, you took him because he was the best player on the board, and you had other pieces already. Remember, you thought that you had Leonard Williams. You thought that you had pieces that was able to be complementary. So he was a cherry on top. Like Air Reed was cherry on top, but you had Terrell Suggs. You had Haloti Ngata. You had other pieces. So you take the safety when listen, Jamal is a transcendent player, but, he's a finishing piece. He's not a building block.
Jerry in the car. Jerry.
I just want very quick. I don't think the comparison between Thibodeau and Coughlin is the same. Coughlin had a Hall of Famer in Strahan, Pro Bowler in Tiki Barber. The Knicks have nobody. They've been a laughing stock for 20 years. He's got to come in there, get their butts in gear, and let's go. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, and they probably got to get some players, too. That would help. You definitely got to build the roster.
Well, if they get Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker, then that's a start. That's his superstar that he builds around. That's his superstar that he says, listen, follow this guy. This is how we do things around here. He has to be that voice in the locker room.
And do me a favor, also develop some of these young guys you have, because those draft picks, they cost a lot of emotional capital. That's a lot of L's that you had to eat over the last couple of years to get these high picks. Turn them into something. Richie and Hazlitt. Richie.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Thank you for the call. I'm glad that G picked up the phone and listened to offers. Love the move. I'm comparing what he did with Philly and the Jets to what Theo Epstein did in Boston and Chicago. Listen to every offer, build with draft picks, and win championships. Be well and be safe, fellas.
Thank you, Richie. You too. What do you think of that comparison? Now, of course, you got to win a championship in a place where they didn't think you ever could, and that was Boston and Chicago. That's what Theo did. Can Joe do this with the Jets?
I think this is part of his five-year plan is getting make sure that he's cheap so he can make a run. He knows he's going to have to pay Sam Darnold pretty soon. You know, you're hoping that maybe in 3-4 years, by the time Sam Darnold's ready to be a champion or be able to take you to the next level, then that's when you have to start paying him. You don't have to pay other guys because they've already addressed that situation.
All right, let's take Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Okay,
finish
guys.
Us off. We saved you for last. Finish
well,
us off.
Well, that's fine. I like being last. Go by age. Here's what the trademark of a Thibodeau-Woodson team, assuming Mike Woodson is coming here, is fast feet and weak side switches. I'll pick Julius Randle up at 8:30 and drive him anywhere he wants. Because he's got to get some shot makers on the outside. And remember, he ran a high post in Chicago because he had the guy with Noah. You got to switch on the weak side and eliminate the transition basket. That's what I'm saying. I think it's an okay move. That Woody's coming back, I'm thrilled because I love that guy.
Yes. Yeah, I absolutely love the guy, too. And it's a very personal job for Woody as well. You know, he once told me one time when we were in the building together, he was with the Clippers, and we were just catching up. And then he said, you know, I said, how do you feel being back in here? And he said, you know, I still have emotion because, and he pointed up to the division banner. He goes, I put a freaking banner up in this place.
That's right.
How many other guys can say that?
He didn't get an interview. That always.
Yeah. But the way Phil treated him in the end was just was wrong. But yeah. Phil wanted him to run a triangle, and everybody knew Woody was never going to do that.
Defensive coach.
Yeah, but well, look, here's the other thing. And Spike, thanks for the call and thanks for hanging in there with us. Stay cool today too, by the way, with the dogs. But Bart, I mean that's the other thing. Now, whether it's the Jets or whether it's the Knicks, it's the idea now that okay, now we know who you are. Now it's a matter of what you can become with what you've got, right? And Joe, you figure still has some work to do building that team. Leon Rose, we have your coach. But now you've got some building to do. So it's still the early stages. It's hard to predict what either one of these franchises are going to be. But do you at least feel like after seeing moves that Douglas has made, that Leon has made, including hiring coach, does it feel like they're heading in the right direction at least?
Yeah, and sometimes it gets a little uglier before it gets better. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to take a step back and you have to build it the right way because if you build something on top of a weak foundation, it won't stand. And it's going to be super fragile and it won't be able to handle adversity. But if you build it the right way and it has stability, it has culture. You know, that's what we've been talking about around here. Two things we've been talking about. We've been talking about all the teams around here need culture and all of them need teachers. And I think the Knicks have both. I don't know about the Jets. I don't know what Adam Gase is and what he – listen, his representation is on the line today. But don't think Joe Douglas is afraid to fire Adam Gase if he has to. But I think you look at Greg Williams, he's a teacher. And that's why that team was able to still be successful when they lost all their pieces, right? So you know you have teachers on one side. Let's see if Adam Gase can step his game up and live up to Peyton Manning's words.
Let me ask you quickly, again, give me a 10-second answer here. You think Joe Douglas talked to Greg Williams before he traded Jamal? Did he say anything to Greg Williams about, hey, is this guy that special to you?
Oh, absolutely. Remember what Greg Williams said, like, Jamal, you're not even the best safety that I ever coached. You know, when I look at it, I know we can't really say his name a lot around here. When I look at Marcus May, I look at Marcus May in a Greg Williams system like Darren Sharper. And remember, Darren Sharper is up there with Ed Reed and everybody else as far as the interceptions for touchdowns and returns and Pro Bowls and all that stuff. When I see Marcus May, I see Darren Sharper.
Okay. Well, let's see where the Jets go from here. Now, baseball-wise, again, if you're just joining us in the K-Show, I'll have all this and more coming up next. The Yankees were supposed to play in Philly 2 games before they go home. That game tonight has been postponed. They are in Philly. They've got to clean up that clubhouse now after the Marlins left, and the Marlins now have a lot of players who tested positive for COVID. So baseball is now going through their protocols and what they do next. There is a report out of the New York Post that at least the league for now not considering canceling the season. So there's that. You got to learn how to live with this thing. This is the first time for baseball going through it. And now, of course, they've got to go from there. But K-Show, I have plenty of that coming up. Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.